We'd like to start with Psalm 133, verse 1. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. So, dearly beloved brethren, where are we dwelling that achieves this good and pleasant status of unity with our brethren? It is a very lofty place we have been dwelling, somewhere beyond the world's reach. Though they may see us, they know not of our secret place, nor our refuge. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble, Psalm 46:1. He invited us to this refuge, showed us the hidden gate, and gave us passage by means of us giving him our hearts. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways, Proverbs 23:26. We see something of his ways in the construct of where our hearts are given to know and then go. We volunteered because our Lord, though rejected of others, like a stone considered useless and a tripping hazard, we have instead found him precious. 1 Peter 2:7, unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. The pastor once said, the more I believed, the more precious the Lord became to me. Yes, very precious indeed. Jesus saved us, and he continues in the same. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you, for us, for his body. Where do we abide? Are we not happy to dwell here with him and his, pointing all our cares and worries and fears to him for his wisdom and example, happy for the words of and the actions that speak of the Father's love and promises, happy to dwell in this place where we find admonitions not burdensome nor restrictive, but very helpful in lifting our otherwise burdens. How incredibly special to dwell in this faith dwelling, and then to have more of it by coming together as brethren. This convention concept, though online, still recalls the words of the psalmist in 18, verse 19. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The dwelling in which we are abiding is much, much different from the four walls variety. You see, it's a weaving, a woven fabric, a knitting together in love. Recall the command to set up the annual Passover and how those families came together. They took a lamb and ate together, all of it, with bitter herbs. Remember Exodus, the 12th chapter. And still true, more so now that we know the significance, is this partaking of that antitypical lamb with solemnity, that appreciation of the ransom, and the household of brethren who eat all of it up, the fiery experiences, the bitter herbs, the darkness of the night, all special significance for the gospel age church of the firstborns. So shall we experience great things of God's grace together in this dwelling with our compatriots of a now not so far away country, heaven itself. But this all comes to us by our constancy of faith, of hope, and of love. And good it is to ask frequently with the psalmist, Psalm 15, verse 1 and 2, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. So grab hold to the Lord by finding ourselves still endeavoring with fullness of desire, knowing our extreme need, the grand gifts of hope, and all those Ebenezers that speak to our heads and to our hearts to trust God. Psalm 61, verses 3 and 4. For thou hast been a shelter for me, and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. We are here gathered because the Lord has brought to each of us this wonderful shelter of blessings, a large place for the largest of blessings. It is also true this place is really a condition wherein the Lord can bring many wonderful blessings. Keep us from danger, instruct us in the higher attributes of love and compassion and constant assurance by evidence of his nearness. Psalm 91:1, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. It is to Jesus, who came to the world to be the light and the Savior of the world, that further embraced us, saying, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. The place where we dwell together is that place where our heart is, and together we abide in Jesus Christ the Lord. He is our dear Lord and Savior. To his image we aspire, humbly, faithfully, kindly, with compassion, obedience, peace, joy, patience, gentleness, brotherly love, and all the facets of agape. Without knowing Jesus and searching how we may follow in the Word, we would be out in the cold, knowing nothing and becoming nothing. John 15, verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. But with love flourishing in our hearts, we have come to desire to work out the great commandment whilst expressing our love to God, letting him work in us and living love by showing forth his praises, who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. John 15:10. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. This likeness we are conforming to is one of grace and pours out only with understanding, with knowing the first principles of the gospel and making the devotion of his word central to every day. Abiding in this, his love, is to know him and have reasons for the hope within. Assembling together so we are stretched more, so that we may make of this day, this weekend, this lifetime yet before us, all singular to abiding in him, does indeed tell each of us that we are led of the Spirit. 1 John 3:24, and hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. We were changed when we first consecrated, changed more along the way as we grew up into Christ, changed more through all the lessons of patience and humbling, learning the noble Berean trait of daily studying what things are so in this great divine plan. And now we are seeing to it that we cease not to perform with diligence that task of the duty commanded, and for which we shall finally be victorious. 2 Thessalonians 3:13, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. We abide in Christ, for here we have rest and peace, not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Why? Because as we abide in Christ, so he abides in us. Together we are the seed of blessing. Colossians 1:26 and 27. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It becomes us to love one another as Christ has loved us, and daily, moment by moment, is also our advocate with the Father, our lifeline to work within the confines of this weak old body. In this, we may feel the infirmities of our brethren as well. With each frailty, each failure, comes the sympathy for our brother or our sister, from whose life our life has now learned valuable and eternal things. 1 Corinthians 8:13. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. We must receive and become comfort to our brethren. It was Jesus that gave us this new commandment, obviously to bring all the various trials and seeming difficulties encountered at his first advent to our attention, to see that through this present life of development in Christ, we would now be required to do likewise and seek a love for one another to such an extent that we would sacrifice ourselves for our brother. John 15, verse 12 reads, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." Paul wrote to the Philippians, to us, in Philippians 2, 1 through 3, If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, let each esteem others as better than themselves. Finding things out about the plan of God, focusing on our own deficits, becoming aware of our brethren's testimonial lives, that they too have these certain experiences where grace alone will do, all builds finally to a desire to comfort one another concerning our faith. Not unlike Paul sending out Timotheus saying, to comfort you concerning your faith, 1 Thessalonians 3:2. How can we comfort one another better than by the repeating of the word of God? First to encourage, then testify, to tell of the benefit of trusting God, of hope, and especially in the examples of God's love and Christ's as well. 1 Thessalonians 4:18. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words, not merely comfort of the words, but with the express purpose of building one another up. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. So as we gather with the body of Christ these next several days, perhaps we can find that we are dwelling with God together, that Jesus abides with us in proportion as we seek to abide in him, that we are our brother's keeper in the sense of pouring out our lives and supporting one another's faithfulness through compassion that makes a difference, the love and the word of wisdom from above. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 16 and 17. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Be a good hearer of the word, as these elders have sought to bring you sacred messages, wonderful truths, and know we are all on the same large room of blessings. Because with our whole heart, we live to be and are becoming changed by God's grace into the sympathetic high priest body. We thank each of you for your contribution of hearing that you will make, and some of you for your contribution of speaking. But we especially thank you for listening and becoming so wonderfully different, changed, a comforter, messenger of the Lord yourself. Welcome to the peace place from your Salem brethren, and thank you for being with us. To paraphrase Proverbs 10:22, may the blessings of the Lord make you rich in spirit.